Hello, everyone, and welcome to Archangels of Justice Weekly. Today, Sal will be discussing his upcoming series on self-defense.
Have you ever concerned yourself with your personal safety and those of your loved ones? I'm sure you have. All of us do, to some point or another, worry about the well-being of a loved one and ourselves when we're going out and about in public.
Thank you, Sal. I think you guys are going to find this subject to be incredibly valuable and something that everyone needs to be educated on. But we apologize in advance for the issue with Sal's mic. We had some technical problems that should be addressed by next week. But anyways, thank you for joining us, and this is Archangels of Justice Weekly for the week of January 6th, 2019.
I want to do a self-defense introduction today. The first thing I want to do is introduce myself. I'm Salvatore Rastrelli. I'm one of the Archangels of Justice. And before I get started with the introduction itself, I want to talk about my career in law enforcement and why what I have to say about self-defense is something that you should really pay attention to. The simple fact of the matter is, there's a lot of people out there that claim to be self-defense experts that are martial artists but never really worked on the street and dealt with violent criminals. There's a difference between competitive martial arts and fighting for your life. Between the competitive martial arts and a street fight, there are a couple of big differences. One, there is absolutely no rules in a street fight. There is no referee to stop the fight when somebody deals a dirty blow. Keep that in mind. As a police officer, I spent 25 years working as a policeman and working some of the most dangerous assignments that there were available at the time. When I started my career, I started out as a patrol officer, as most every police officer does. I spent 5 years out there on the streets, and I worked in a high crime districts. I worked out on the interstates interdicting drugs and narcotics and felons on a daily basis, and had very, very, very many deadly encounters, which I was able to not only survive, but win. After 5 years of working on patrol, I transferred into the Special Investigations Unit, where we dealt with narcotics and vice and a sundry of crimes that were very, very sensitive in nature. During that 7.5 years that I spent in that unit, I worked undercover quite frequently, which is also a very dangerous assignment because you're not carrying a gun. And oftentimes you're dealing with some really, really unsavory characters and trying to fit into their world and survive that. During that time period that I was in that unit, I also pushed for our agency to have a SWAT team. It had not had a SWAT team, and we were desperately in need of one. So I put together a training regimen, got a hold of some of the very best in the business, the Army and the Navy and Marines that had mobile training units, and we received our training from them. And then we went on to get more training from that. We had completed hundreds of missions in the time period that I was the SWAT team leader of our unit, of our SWAT team. The other thing that I want to bring up is that we were not a very big agency. We were a mid-sized agency of several hundred officers, and we competed nationally with agencies that had thousands of police officers and were world-renowned for having some of the best SWAT teams in the country. And what? Guess what? We took them on head-to-head, and we beat them 2 years in a row, first place. Because we had the mental capability, we had the weapon systems, and we trained very, very hard. And we didn't allow the predisposition of being bigger and better than anybody else. We tried harder, and we won. Something else that I want to bring up after this period of time of dealing with SWAT and dealing with undercover work and dealing with all the different things that happen when you encounter heinous criminals that are very, very dangerous. If they're not afraid of a police officer, they're not afraid to try to take your gun. I've had them try to take my gun several times. It didn't work out real well for them trying to do that. But the fact of the matter is when they try to take a police officer's gun, their intent is to kill the police officer. And it's the same thing for you if you carry a gun. Keep that in mind. Now, after the 7.5 years in that unit, I moved on to the crime scene unit. Now, in the crime scene unit, what I saw there as a crime scene investigator was a lot of death. A lot of death at the hands of other people. A lot of death at the hands of people themselves committing suicide. And what I learned about this particular aspect of law enforcement, from what I got from it, is what bullets do and how they work and when they don't work, how knives can be equally as deadly in a fight as a gun. And sometimes the person with a knife will beat the person with a gun. Keep that in mind. I always like a challenge, always have, always will, and I always seek out a way to better myself. Now, when I chose the path in law enforcement that I chose, it was from the beginning to help people, to put bad people in jail where they belong, and to keep people that were good people from getting hurt. Now, in law enforcement, there's some good and there's some bad that goes on all the time. But the main focus of a police officer's job is to enforce the law. And there's a lot of people out there that don't want laws enforced on them. And those people are the type of people that you, as a citizen, will have to confront someday when they come after you to steal from you, rape you, beat you, whatever the case may be. There are violent people in this world today. I don't care what country you live in, what city you live in, or how big your house is. Because I've seen murders in ghettos, and I've had work murder cases in mansions. So if you think you're safe just because you live in a gated community with alarms and security guards, you're fooling yourself. All the training I received in that 25 years was from nationally recognized experts in the field of self-defense, firearms training, and obviously the academics of investigations and crime scene and so on and so forth. But I put all that together, or after the 25 years that I spent in law enforcement, and well, even during the time of law enforcement, that after about 10 or 12 years on the job, I became an instructor at the police academy. I taught recruits and I taught officers that were already sworn in advanced classes in self-defense and firearms and academics. Traveled around the state of Florida also teaching those classes at other police agencies as well. This is real world experience from a veteran police officer that's telling you what works and don't work. And that is where I'm going to differ from a lot of the other podcasts and a lot of the videos that you may watch and the books that you may purchase that talk about self-defense and certain things. Now, some of the things will be similar, but there are some things that, you know, I want to get into when I actually get into the meat and potatoes of self-defense. This is merely the introduction for you to get to know me a little bit and to understand where I'm coming from. I take this topic extremely seriously because nothing more dangerous than overestimating your abilities or putting yourself in a situation and you become over your head in it. And that is something we're going to talk about when we get into the actual podcast about self-defense. But I want to bring these points up now so you understand the direction that this is going to go into. I used my 25 years of law enforcement experience, training, and actual life and death situations, and I'm putting this together to help you and anyone else out there that's willing to listen to the podcast. Something else I want to address at this point is a book that I wrote a couple of years ago. The book I wrote a couple of years ago is titled How Not to Be a Prime Crime Victim. what spurred me on to write that book is exactly what's spurring me on now to do this podcast series. Is you, the citizen, and maybe even the police officer that maybe wants a little bit of advice from a guy that's been down that road before and knows what works and doesn't work. The book can be bought in an electronic format, so you can download it to your phone, you can download it to your computer, you can download it to your iPad. You don't have to have a Kindle Fire like you used to have years ago to download these things. Amazon has it. It's only $4.99. I'm the author, Salvatore Rastrelli. If you look for it on Amazon, that is the title, How Not to Be a Prime Crime Victim, by me, Salvatore Rastrelli, for $4.99. And believe me, it's well worth every cent. You can share it with your family members, and that's what's important here. This is not just about you. It's about your loved ones. It's about the situations they may find themselves in or you may find yourselves in collectively. The world is a dangerous place. Don't fool yourself into believing that the police will be there for you every time you need them, when you need them the most. It's impossible. It's impossible. If you look at the amount of police officers on the street in this country today and the amount of citizens in this country today, the odds are really against you getting the help you need when you need it the most. The average call for a policeman, if you make a 911 call, the average response time is anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes. And that could be because of geographic situations. It could be traffic. It could be a train is crossing the intersection the police officer needs to cross to get to you. Remember this. They can't be there all the time. So where does it fall? Your personal safety falls on you. And that is what we need to understand, and that is what you need to understand today. And I am very serious about this topic. I will try to have some fun with it as well, but I really want you to pay attention to this because nothing more important than yourself and your family's safety. Hundreds of violent encounters. Hundreds, not one or two, but hundreds. You know, something I used to ask students back in the day when I was teaching the academy classes with students that just basically got out of high school or junior college and they wanted to be policemen. I used to ask them, how many fights you had? You know, and they'd raise their hands, several of them, and I go, well, did anybody bleed in that fight? Anybody go to the hospital in that fight? Typically, the answers were no. Most of the time with a pushing and shoving match, maybe somebody punched somebody once or slapped somebody. Those are not the kind of fights you're going to encounter in a self-defense, life and threatening situation. Okay? That's not how they function. I'm talking about a real fight that you may be killed in or injured really severely in. Those are the kind of situations I dealt with regularly as a police officer. Again, as I mentioned before, in a street fight, for your survival, whether it's on the street or in your house or in your car, hotel lobby or hotel hallway, a mall, a parking lot, there are no rules. There is no referee there to stop the fight when it gets out of hand. Remember that. There is nobody. But there will be a Monday morning quarterback. That's going to be the police that arrive. That's going to be the prosecutor, the judge, and all this other stuff that can happen after a self-defense situation. Whether you shot somebody, you pepper sprayed somebody, whatever the case may be, there is going to be scrutiny afterwards. And those are the things we're going to talk about later on, after this introduction, when I start breaking down self-defense in a series of podcasts. Remember this, defending yourself is a right, not a privilege. You do not have to be a victim. Your family members do not have to be a victim. You don't need to ask permission to defend yourself. There are communities in this country that do not report the crime rate that they really have. And the reason being is affluent communities don't want people to know that there is a high crime rate. There are police departments that don't function at the level they should function. And the last thing they want you, the citizen, the taxpayer, to know is they're not doing their job. Case in point, Parkland shooting, February this year, 2018, Valentine's Day. 17 students and teachers dead, 17 more injured seriously, hundreds of people suffering mental anguish over the loss of those people and the danger that was presented in the school that day. Now, we can all jump up and down and run our mouths about gun control like everybody was hyped up over. This isn't a gun control issue. This is a crazy, violent person issue. Crazy, violent people do what this man did that day. This is not done by the average gun owner. This is done by a psychopath. Now, what I want to get into today is the fact that the police were on the campus. There was one school resource officer available on campus at the moment in time when the shooting started. He did not attempt to locate this shooter and engage him, which means put him out of his misery right now. There are 6 or 7 other ones pulled up onto the school property within a minute or two of the shooting occurring. What happened? They did the same thing. They stayed outside. They never went in and addressed the shooter. Let me explain something to you. Since the Columbine incident in the 90s, where 20-some-odd students were shot and killed, I want you to think about this. The SWAT team was called out there, but by the time the SWAT team assembled, which takes time to get a SWAT team, they're not sitting around like at the fire department waiting for the bell to ring and for them to go somewhere. They all have other assignments. It takes too long to get a SWAT team geared up into a situation like an active shooter. So police departments, since that shooting, took it upon themselves to get the best training they possibly could and arm their officers with the best weapons they could to when a shooting like this happens, the officers that respond to that scene immediately go on the hunt for the shooter, and their intent is to stop him. And that doesn't mean stop, this is the police. That means maybe shooting him on sight the second you see him. Why? Because he's already engaging in shooting innocent people. The job of the police officers to stop that. Now, let me explain something to you. Now, in December of this very same year, 2018, a federal court judge decided the police do not have an obligation or a duty to protect those students. But what does that mean to you? If the students are not good enough for the police to risk their lives to defend, are you? Of course not. You're no better than they are. So if they don't have a duty to protect them, they don't have a duty to protect you. So you need to take this seriously, and you need to take this to the bank. You are responsible for your safety. Do not depend on the police. Something else, because I don't want to drag this out too long. I want to keep this down and short and sweet. People don't have all day. And self-defense doesn't need to take you all day because you could be dead in 10 seconds. Like with a violent criminal that's intent on doing you bodily harm, you could be dead in 10 seconds or less. And if you're not willing to defend yourself, that's what's going to happen. Now, you may not want to carry a gun. I highly can tell you right now that you need to reconsider that, and you need to get the training necessary. And once you get the training necessary, continue your training. If you're not into fighting, you need to take some simple martial arts classes that at least where you learn how to punch and kick and gouge somebody's eyes out. Because at the end of the day, if you're not willing to fight dirty, you're going to lose. Okay? This isn't a boxing match with a referee standing there telling you you can't hit below the belt and you can't do this and you can't do that. This is dangerous. Physical preparation is extremely important. No matter how old you are, no matter how small or big you are, you need to have some physical stamina. 2, you need to have a really strong mental attitude that you're going to win. At all costs, you're going to win. Something I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't have a firearm, you don't have the money to buy one, go out and buy yourself a can of Pepper Gel by Saber Red. Remember that name, Saber Red, Pepper Gel. You go to a gun store, or you can buy it online through Amazon. And when you buy it, it's only $20 for one can of pepper spray and a can of practice spray. And guess what? Saber Red puts out a video to show you how to use it. They give you directions on the back of this package that tells you how to use it. And the practice can is an inert can of spray with a target, so you at least understand how the spray functions and works and how the cap is set up on it so you know how to use it properly. Pepper gel. Buy Saber Red. Trust me on that one. Buy it. It's worth it. You can be attacked anywhere. I've already told you this. Home, car, office, classroom, restaurants, malls, walking on a sidewalk. Possibilities are endless. When are you going to be a prime crime victim? Don't be. Buy the book, How Not to Be a Prime Crime Victim, and listen to this podcast, this one and every subsequent one that I put out, because I'll be talking about everything, weapons, escapes, the laws, situations. You don't have to be shot, stabbed, or beaten with an inch of life to defend yourself. Don't let people tell you nonsense stories that you have to be shot at first or all this other stuff. If you're in fear for your life at that moment in time, you do what's necessary to protect yourself and your loved ones. No state in this country requires you to try to escape. Now, this is a big misconception with the Florida Castle Law and the Stand Your Ground Law. You know, people have taken this to the extreme. It doesn't matter what those laws say. The fact of the matter is you have a right to defend yourself, okay? If you're faced with a deadly threat, you have the right to use that amount of force to defend yourself. It's just that plain and simple. 90% of the time, if you're put in a situation, you can't escape. There is no escaping. So you have to stand your ground. It's either that or get shot in the back or stabbed in the back. You know, but again, we'll talk about this stuff more in length down the road in the podcast. Police officers receive hundreds of hours of training in the police academy, about 160 hours total between it, 80 hours of firearms training and another 80 hours of self-defense training. And you guess what? It's not enough. And the average citizen doesn't even get near that amount of training. That 160 hours that they receive is just enough to qualify them to get out and do the job, but it also qualifies them to get their butt in gear and get more training. Because if you think you know it all after that amount of training, you're going to wind up in a coffin. A citizen in the United States, you do not have the authority to go out and act like a policeman. This is something I've stressed over and over and over again when I teach concealed weapons classes. Just because you have a gun doesn't mean you go out and start telling people what to do if you see somebody doing something wrong. Call the police. That's their job. Be a good witness. Don't get involved in it. There have been shootings because people get themselves involved in situations they have no business getting into. And they're scrutinized heavily, and a lot of times they wind up in a trial for murder, because they shouldn't have got involved in the situation. When the situation finds you, you're innocently walking down the street and you get attacked, it's a different story. But when you start looking for trouble and trouble finds you, you may find yourself on the wrong side of the law. Remember that. There have been situations where armed citizens have saved people's lives while in a restaurant eating and a shooting commences for the bad guy there and an armed citizen puts an end to it. That's a different story. They're in there minding their own business when it happened. You remember that. These are very, very important tips that I'm giving you right now. Never purposely put yourself in an encounter. There's a lot to learn about self-defense. There's a lot to learn about the laws. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring this down as simple as I possibly can for everybody can understand it and get the most out of this. I've already told you how police officers can't get there for you. I already told you about the Parkland massacre at the high school. This is a shame that a federal court judge turned around and said that the police have no duty to protect you, the citizen. That's wrong. It's wrong. They swear an oath, just like the military swears an oath, to defend the Constitution and America from all terrorism or any kind of enemies, whether they be domestic or foreign. Well, this person that shot up the school that day was a domestic terrorist. They had a duty. They swore an oath, and they didn't do their job. And then this federal court judge turned around and said they don't have to. Remember what I'm telling you. You're the only one responsible for your safety, because the police cannot do it for you, and they won't be doing it for you. I know none of you want to be, or one of your loved ones, to become a prime crime victim. Stay tuned for my next episode on this, where we start actually getting into strategies and tactics of staying alive and winning any type of altercation that you may wind yourself into that you did not invite. Don't forget, buy that copy of How Not to Be a Prime Crime Victim, authored by me, Salvatore Rastrelli, from Amazon. For $4.99, it's worth every penny. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and stay tuned for the next episode right here at Archangel of Justice Weekly. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sal. We appreciate you introducing the upcoming self-defense series you're going to be hosting, and can't wait to hear next week's episode. As Sal begins his self-defense tactics series, we are very excited to announce the launch of our new website, archangelsofjustice.com, that makes donating and following Archangels of Justice easier than ever. Help us investigate the cases that are forgotten by our justice system. Every little bit helps. Also, make sure you stay up to date on the newest content from Archangels of Justice by following us on Facebook at Archangels of Justice and on Twitter at Archangel Pod. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to having you here for the next episode of Archangels of Justice Weekly.